All right. Thank you, ladies. One lady. All right. Thank you, Sandy. I saw you. I'm glad. I thought the rapture had taken place because I looked over there and I saw the garment left on the seat. And I was beginning to get a little bit worried. Then I remembered what your dad told me about you, and I knew you didn't go ahead of the rest of us. I'm joking with it. All right. We got folks gone and different ones substituting, and I'm having a little hard time keeping up with it, but thank God we got substitutes. Amen? That do a good job for us. I want you to go to the Old Testament. Go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 15. And you ought to mark a passage like this. Even though it's Old Testament, it's still the same God. And the Bible says, Paul says, that things written aforetime were written for our admonition, and we can learn from them. And here's something that is in the Old Testament here, but current today. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the results of bad doctrine. Now, doctrine, don't let that throw you. Basically, we would say teachings and truths, or in many cases false doctrine, false things that are claimed to be true that are not. Pick it up with me here in about verse 29 of chapter 15 of the book of Numbers. It says, "Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourned among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously," that's a big word, but you ought to get a hold of that a little bit. "But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him." Now, the law here given to Israel is talking about also how they treat somebody that is broke the law ignorantly, and how they treat the stranger among them that did not know the truth, did not have the teachings. And you remember the oracles of God, the commandments, and all of that was given to Israel. God intended Israel to be a light to the rest of the nations. And he still will have that victory in the end, but Israel failed that. But there's a lot of laws in the Old Testament given to Israel that also includes the heathen or the outsiders, of the Gentiles, which would be you and I. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning to answer a question I keep seeing cropping up on the news. And I just can't figure how they can keep hiding their heads in the sand and pretending not to know what is going on. Now, I know the news people are just repeating and a lot of times just reading their stuff, but there is a big tendency, a big effort to try to back whatever the ideology or the leadership or philosophy that is coming from the top down. There's a big effort by the liberal media to try to support that, even when it's just obviously wrong to anybody with any clear sense at all. And I'll probably say something about it. You can't hardly help it when it's such a bad thing. The fellow that drove the truck, drove it for over a mile, killing people, dodging around, hitting everybody he could. And then, of course, we had the Orlando shooting. And the thing common with that is they keep trying to cover up why they done it. Right. And for instance, when the guy was doing all the shooting in Orlando, he was talking on the phone for 3 hours off and on with the terrorist organizations, and bragging about what he was doing. In this case with the truck, ISIS, the terrorist organization, has stepped up and called him one of their warriors and all that business. And yet you keep hearing the news people saying we're wondering what his motive was. Right. How dumb can we pretend to be? But that's what you keep hearing. Now, the text I read talks about presumptuous sins, presuming on God. Jesus said over in Matthew 4, where the devil was tempting him after his baptism, he was caught up on the mountain high part, and Satan showed him all the kings of the world and wanted him to bow down and worship him, and Jesus wouldn't do it. He quoted the word of God at him. And one of the quotes that Jesus gave him was, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." That throws a lot of light on what a presumptuous sin is. Presuming God will do as you want him to do instead of what he said he will do. Therefore, in the text we read, it talks about breaking or denying the word of God. climb up on the water tank and say, "Now, Lord, I'm presuming you're going to save me, so I'm going to dive off." You say, "I wouldn't be that dumb," but that's just how dumb it is today with some of the stuff that is going on, to presume God will listen to you, all to his word, and do it the way you think it ought to be done instead of the way he's already said he would do. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about presumptuous. Now, why the terrorism is obvious. They are following a really bad doctrine. It's a religious doctrine, but it's a false doctrine. And it is presumptuous that they are doing that. Now, here's the puzzle that comes when you hear the news people talking in the case of the events this week and the Orlando shooting and some of the others. Sort of as an excuse, they're saying, well, they were not devout Muslims. They didn't pray five times a day. They went to the bars, they smoked, they drank, they caroused, they did all that, so they were not Muslims. Even though they said they were. Right. For instance, up here in the Orlando shooting, when the guy was on tape, and you remember they didn't want to release the tapes, and then they tried to release some of them, and there was such an outcry to hear it all, but they never did totally let it all be heard. Because he was taped by the 911 operators and the actual law and all he was talking to. They had all that. So they doctored the tapes. And even what they released was doctored, changed is what I'm trying to say. And for instance, he was praising Allah, but they changed the word Allah to God. See, make it us Americans deceive us just a little bit. Right. No, it was his God, the moon God, Allah. That's who he was praising. That's what he said. He didn't say God. He said Allah. But they changed that for the tapes, and what was printed in the paper said God, didn't say Allah. See, you wonder where in the world the motive behind it all comes from. I have my own opinion, and probably most of you do. But what would make the so-called terrorists do what they're doing and yet go to the bars, drink, cuss, not follow their religion, but then do this? Let me explain to you. Here's what's behind it. It happened in the original 9/11 when the planes flew into the towers. By the way, it's kind of interesting, they're discovering more and more about who's behind that now. Yeah. But anyway, those men, before they flew the planes in that morning, they went out on the town. They drank. They went to the houses of ill repute. They were into fornication. They were doing everything they could possibly do to satisfy the flesh before they got in the planes and flew into the towers. And so some of the talking heads said, well, They were not very devout. They were following a doctrine. Here's the doctrine. The doctrine is there's only one way they can be assured of heaven. Now, it's a works religion. That's why I get on that little floor mat and pray five times a day. That's why with Ramadan and all this stuff was their religious month of holiday, month, and yet all the bad stuff they did in it. So what is behind it? It's this teaching right here. That the only way they can be assured of heaven is to commit suicide while taking out the enemy. The more infidels, unbelievers they can take out, the more assurance they're going to their so-called heaven. That's the doctrine. Now, so that means I couldn't earn it. I couldn't earn it by not drinking and carousing and doing all the bad stuff. I just do all that I want. But right at the end, if I die as a martyr, all that rest of that's wiped out. That's the bad doctrine. Now, while that is the big doctrine with Islam, the Muslims, in some places it's into Christianity. The Protestant Reformation came about for many reasons, but one thing that Martin Luther, that kind of led the Protestant Reformation, one of the things that got him the biggest and some of the rest that followed him, was the teaching of indulgences. Indulge. We know what the word means. Well, he indulged himself with too much ice cream. He indulged himself, you know, here. And so we understand what an indulgence is. But when you put it into a religious doctrine, it has really got a twist on it. As it has in Islam, as it has in Catholicism, American Catholics would not even probably know the word as a whole. But when the Pope came over and went out west, not this Pope, but Pope Paul before him, and he was out in Kansas area, wherever it was, and he was speaking to the big crowd, he forgot he was in America. And he thought he was back home, so to speak. And so he started talking about earning indulgences. And the newspaper didn't pay much attention to it because it suddenly had to be covered up. Because we Americans wouldn't buy into such a doctrine as a whole. Indulgences. Let me explain. An indulgence was where you presume on God and you say, all right, Lord, I want to party Saturday night and I'm going to do some things that's bad, but I'm going to come and put a little money in the offering plate to buy my privilege so I can do it without judgment falling on me. You say, well, that's stupid. Uh-huh. I sure agree with you. It is. But it's a teaching. And Martin Luther, for instance, fought that big time, because you got to remember, he was a monk, he was a priest, he was studying to be one. And there was a lot of others that at that time got their eyes open. The reason they didn't want the word of God in the people's language, because those kind of teachings was not in the word of God. In fact, the word of God teaches against it. So that's why they didn't want it. That's why Tyndale was burned or killed, and that's why Wycliffe and all the others that made the effort to put the word of God into English for the common people to have, they suffered martyrdom. They were killed because of that. Now, the Bible throws a lot of light on man's false imaginations, but look how clever it was to satisfy the flesh and pay for it ahead of time, get permission to do it. You say, I can't believe that. Check out what I'm saying. It's in all the writings. It's there. Had a little cute saying in the day of Martin Luther. They had one particular priest that went around village to village, and he'd come in, get on a soapbox, so to speak, and the village crowd would gather, and that was the teaching of purgatory, which is not Bible. Purgatory teaches that your loved one, even if it's a good loved one, good religious loved one, when they died, they still didn't go straight to heaven. They went to a middle place called purgatory. In purgatory, they had a certain amount of fire to endure, to purge them from their sins. Now, we know as Bible believers how ridiculous that is. Jesus is the one that purged our sins. Amen. on the cross of Calvary. He paid it all. But I don't have to go to purgatory and finish paying for my sins. That's a terrible doctrine. But it's a money-making doctrine. Let me explain how. My mother died, we'll say, and went to purgatory, if I believe that. And that's what they would preach. And then, if I want her time in purgatory to be short, I want to give an offering to get her out, to get her prayed out by giving her enough offering. I know some of you looking at me like that. Nobody could believe that, but they do. But they do, and they teach that. It's a bad doctrine. There's a little old jingle that this particular priest used when he'd go from village to village back in Martin Luther's day. I don't know if I can quote it right or not. Something like this. When the coin, think about a piece of silver or something, when a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from the fire springs. Little jingle. And that was his theme. And then take up the offering. I'm putting in some for mama. I'm putting some in for daddy. I'm putting some in for anybody, And so it was a money-making scheme. And it still exists. The doctrine's never been repudiated. And like I say, when the Pope was in America, it slipped up and referred to granting, get the word, indulgences. Now, the Muslim religion is teaching the same thing when it teaches, I can do all this bad, but I'm going to pay for it myself. That's a works religion thing. Now, an indulgence was something that was paid for ahead of time in most cases, and I think I've told you this. I worked for a company before I was in the ministry, after I'd been saved, and there was a man of this religion that worked, and the other guys, of course, I was a Christian. There was one or two others, and we'd try to tell the workers the truth as we could. But this was a big topic of conversation because this particular guy, if you were riding in the service truck with him on Friday before the weekend broke, not every week, but often, and he would pass a certain church building, he would say, pull in here just a minute. Let me run in for just a minute. And he'd run in and he'd be out quick. And we'd say, why? He'd say, because I had to go in and give an offering and tell, in many cases, the priest, what kind of things I'm gonna do this weekend. I gotta get permission ahead of time. I gotta get them paid for ahead of time. Now that is a terrible, ridiculous, stupid teaching, but that's what this presumptuous sin, presume on God, tell God, you manipulate God, sort of like the fellow filling out his taxes. He's looking for a loophole. He's looking for a way to get around it. Listen, isn't it crazy that earthly man would think he could outsmart God? But that teaching is a sad truth. And purgatory is that exact same type, tied in with that same thing. Presumptuous sins and indulgence. Now, when you compare that to the true doctrine of Christianity, we understand how silly it is, how unscriptural it is. The truth in the Word of God, I'm glad we know the truth. Don't the truth say, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Set you free from what? False doctrine. False teaching, because see, people do act on what they believe. That's true with all of us. So if you believe something false, then you may want to go buy an indulgence ahead of time. Or you may want to strap on a suicide vest and go blow up a bunch of enemies so you get a straight shot to heaven. Isn't that crazy? Of course it is when you compare it to the truth. And Jesus said the truth will make you free. Now, premeditating ahead of time to do wrong is exactly what we're talking about. The truth of grace is that And here's what we get accused of. Now listen to me close, and I hope the radio don't go off before I finish this so I don't get misquoted. The truth of grace is argued against. Folks will say, okay, you're saved by grace, so you can sin all you want to. Well, I want to tell you something. I do sin all I want to. But God changed my want to. And when you get saved, you become a new creature in Christ, and you want to change it. You say, you don't ever slip up in sin, you don't ever have a bad thought, you don't ever, something you should have done, you didn't do. Of course, of course. But there's another thing that is true when you get saved. You have, as it were, a policeman move inside, the Holy Spirit. So, the truth of grace is I'm saved by grace. I can't earn my way. I can't die as a martyr to earn heaven. I can't do a lot. I ought to do good works because I'm saved to please the Lord out of gratitude, but I don't do a thing to save me. He did it all to save me. His blood paid for my sins completely, past, present, and future. And we understand that. Yes, but then he does better than that. He lets Christ move inside. And the Spirit of Christ comes in to help guide me, help lead me, help me go stay on the straight and narrow and grieve me when I go astray. Now, one of the best ways you know you've been born again is because sin grieves you. I can't call the senator's name in Washington here a number of years back. One of the reporters was asking them all about their religion one way or the other. He told him he was Baptist. Reporter knew just enough to say, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm a Baptist. I'm born again. And you know, back when Jimmy Carter ran for president, that got into politics and the papers a lot about being born again. It's still mentioned every now and then. And that part of it was good to at least get it out there publicly. But they were asking the senator about it. And they said, does that mean you never sin? He says, no, it means when I do, I don't enjoy it. Yeah. Now, it was a good answer. Because if you got the Holy Spirit living inside, he grieves you. Right. You don't enjoy it. It'll make you miserable, in fact. And that's a very, very real thing. Now, sometimes, yes, we can slip up, we can do something, or we can premeditate and be presumptuous and do it. I understand it can happen either way. But either way, the Holy Spirit will be grieved. And the more you premeditate and do wrong, the worse it will be. But even when you kind of slip up into it, the way you know it was wrong is the Holy Spirit will bring it up later. He'll bother you about it later. Now, that's a very real tangible thing, folks. If you're born again, that's a tangible thing. And it's clearly spoken of many times in the Word of God. The text I read there speaks of folks doing things ignorantly. Yes, that can happen. Paul even said that he persecuted the church before he was saved, and that he did it ignorantly. Yet Paul was one of the most educated men in the Bible, Pharisee of the Pharisees. The great rabbi that taught Paul is still reverenced greatly in all the writings of the Jews today. If you get into the rabbinical writings of the Jews today, they'll go all the way back to Gamaliel that taught Paul. Paul sat at his feet, one of the great rabbis of the Jews. And yet Paul said he did it ignorantly, but then of course God dealt with him about it. And you can sin ignorantly, but if you're saved, you don't have the excuse. And no excuse is good. Everybody's got to be born again to get to heaven. They got to know Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We understand that. But the Holy Spirit will grieve. And there's a verse I'd like for you to go to, Romans chapter 8. And I want to read a couple of verses with you and give you time to find it. Romans chapter 8. And let's pick out about, maybe verses 7 through 9, Romans chapter 8. All right, here we go on the subject. Verse 7, because the carnal mind, now you know what carnal is. It's talking about the flesh. It's not talking about the spirit. Talking about the natural way of the earth and of the natural man. The carnal mind, thinking in that sense, is enmity against God. Now that means opposite from the way God would want you to think, carnal. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they are in the flesh, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, talking to saved people here, when you see that word but changed across the street. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S, Spirit of God. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now he says, if so be, if you've been born again, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, you ought to underline these next four words, he is none of his. You see that? So, if a man don't have the Spirit of Christ, it says he's none of his. He doesn't belong to the Lord. Now, that's a very tangible thing that you can get a hold of. If the Spirit of God lives within you, he will convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, the Bible says. And he is faithful to do it. He will do it. Now, that leads to another truth. What does the Holy Spirit do when we do grieve him? Well, he gives us turnaround time. He gives us repentance time. He gives us correction time, and no doubt about that. That's why he grieves us. But if we ignore him, the Bible says there's a chastening coming. If you want to go look at it, go to Hebrews chapter 12 very quickly, and let's understand that. What is a chastening? Well, somebody said there's one good thing about a spanking. It tells you that somebody loves you. That's the way it used to be, not quite that way anymore, but it should still be that way. And a spanking is to correct. God's chastening is to correct. And so if we belong to him, now if we don't, that's different. I never did spank my neighbor's kids. I spanked my own. God spanks his own, not the heathen, not the carnal, not the ones that aren't in the family. So we get over to Hebrews chapter 12, look at it in verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Earthly analogy there, father and sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Now, I know in this modern age today, they say you can't spank your kids. Well, we're reaping for that, aren't we?
Yeah.
In our schools, in our society, everywhere. Anytime you defy the word of God, you're going to find that there's a penalty to pay.
Amen.
There's a price to pay. So I come back to this thing. What is behind stuff that the talking heads can't seem to figure out? It's a bad doctrine.
Right.
It's presumption against God. It's not truth. It's the devil's deception. Somebody said when they flew the planes into the towers, 9/11, Osama bin Laden, of course, was behind it, and he taught this thing that to die as a martyr, taking out the enemy, guaranteed you'd go to heaven. They say that when the pilots flew into the towers, they have this, we'd call it a white sheet. It's not as big as a sheet, but it's a big piece of white cloth. And just before the planes went into the towers, they pulled up the white cloth, as it were, over their face. It was a religious act, and just kind of covered themselves. And then they were supposed to step in right into their heaven with their 70 virgins and all they describe their heavens going to be like. And